Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival, here with Bruce McDonald. Good afternoon.
Buon pomeriggio.
Pomeriggio.
Yeah. I'm working on it. Okay.
And we are here with you to talk about your film, to talk about Dreamland, which is in the festival as well, and which is a hell of a movie to watch because
it's a very strange movie.
Oh yes, exactly. Because you don't know what you're looking at, and you don't know what you look for, and you don't know what you expect.
Yeah.
It's very dreamy, as the title is.
Yeah.
Why did you choose? Well, first of all, why this kind of structure?
Well, it's sort of, you know, we had a little gang that we made a movie. Myself, the writer, and the actor plays the main character in Dreamland. And we had a fun time working together. We saw a short film where the actor played Chet Baker, mm-hmm. the trumpet player.
Right.
And we thought, wow, he's a pretty good Chet Baker. So then very quickly we sort of decided it's fun to work together. Why don't we come up with an idea where we try to imagine what would a Chet Baker heroin-soaked dream look like? And this is what we came up with.
Actually, we are in the realm of noir, of like, more noir than thriller. And you also touch some very heavy issues, because there is this mafia, this boss, this crime boss who is dealing with child trafficking, which is, but there is. It's very difficult and fascinating at the same time to grab the rhythm of it, the narrative rhythm, because it goes
in circles a little bit.
Goes in circles, exactly. Yeah. And writing wise, how was it? I mean, how was to create this film, which is not very easy to.
Yeah, it was strange to write because, you know, you're trying to write something coherent, obviously, and something that had a forward momentum, but you're also trying to kind of embrace the logic of a dream, which can have circular, elliptical, strange narrative structures without getting people completely lost. We didn't necessarily want to go all the way to last year at Marienbad or something like that, where it's like so elliptical you weren't sure. So we tried to embrace a bit of a noir, you know, old bastard's got to save the girl and get out of town sort of thing. So with that as our kind of our melody, I suppose, then we thought we'd jazz it up around that mission, I suppose, you know.
Yeah, actually, the fact that one of the two lead characters is a jazz musician, and the film is really jazzy in terms of
because we tried to keep the dialogue and the chit chat to a minimum, but there's lots of sort of sequences and music and pictures, and so it is kind of jazzy.
It's kind of free jazzy in terms of surprising you every 10 minutes is something that goes completely off way from what you were thinking about.
Yeah.
So you have to reconsider everything and try to. And then at some point, I think the best way to do it is not to reconsider, just to keep the flow going. Just go on the ride.
And it probably helps if you're a little bit high when you see it.
Well, this is a suggestion that we shouldn't give, but maybe it could work, you know. And you choose to have like the same actor doing two characters.
Yeah.
And
I'm still not quite sure why.
This was what I was asking for, so many people don't know.
Well, to me, dreams are, when I have a dream, talking personally, they seem very real to me, and they don't seem like animation, they don't seem like Lord of the Rings. They seem very, my dreams anyway, other people have Lord of the Rings dreams. So we thought an element that was very simple, like, oh, there's another guy that looks just like you, that nobody really comments on, is a good dream element, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we just thought it added this sort of strange mirror dream thing. But I actually don't know really why. We just decided we would go for it.
And listen, how much you talk about child trafficking, which is a really hard issue to deal with, and really real, you know.
Yeah.
It's really tangible. It's not a dream thing.
Yeah.
So how did research on that influence the dreamy writing of the film?
Well,
because you needed to be realistic on that.
A little bit. I mean, it's still a little bit fairy tale-ish when you look at the girls are all wearing these little same outfits, and I guess we were trying to, you know, there's a contrast of the world above and the world below when we thought, what would the most nasty thing we could think of some business for both worlds to be involved in, the below world and the above world? And we thought, well, there's nothing worse than sort of selling children, I would think. That's probably one of the lower things on the rung. But we didn't really have necessarily models or things that we knew about or looked to. And when the film was made, all this news came out about the New York investor, like Jeffrey Epstein, and all that sort of stuff with the prince. And it's like, oh my God, this is not just made up. This is actually happening. This is just terrifying. Yeah, it just sort of, we were trying to put a real darkness into the world, in this dreamland world. And we thought, well, that's probably the most visual thing, you know, teenage slave girls, and it seems like you didn't have to explain it too much. You see it and you understand it.
So it's already clear.
So it was chosen, that probably was chosen for visual narrative efficiency, I suppose, to be able to state, you know, these are very bad people without having a lot of extra
explanation. Were you forced to follow, or did you want to follow some of the noir genre rules? Or you pick something from here and there?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of more like in the dress and in the, I mean, Stephen as a character, as a person, he just kind of embodies that. I mean, getting ready when we were writing the movie, I would read some Raymond Chandler books, and I would, you know, read some old hard-boiled, which I really never read before, and they were amazing.
Yeah, they're funny. Yeah.
They're fantastic. Oh, yeah. Like, I was kind of stunned, and I really got addicted to Raymond Chandler.
And they're very cinematographic.
Oh, my God, yes. And I know that a number of these have been made into, you know, beloved films. Some I've seen, some I haven't. But it's funny when you go back to the source, you go back to the writing, and you go back to the, you know, where these hard-boiled films came from, and it's right there on the page. That's always one of the really fun parts of making a movie, is the research that you can do, the little time you have for the research.
I wanted to ask you, weren't you, like, concerned or afraid that building up such a kind of surreal story could be a difficult thing for the audience to follow, a kind of put-off things?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to sort of... you know, we knew going into it was never going to be sort of a mainstream thing. We always kind of liked, when I was growing up, there was this thing we called the midnight movie. Mm-hmm. It was like at the local cinema, and that's where you would go and see Eraserhead. You go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The Song Remains the Same, El Topo, like these sort of rock and roll films, some of them surrealist films, like Ancien de Lou, they would play once in a while when they played The Man Who Fell to Earth. So we kind of, I guess, thought that's where we're going to go with this. It's the movie you want to see at midnight when you're half-baked and, you know, you can, it's not too, you can kind of go on the ride. You might not totally, but it's there's enough happening that you'll float down the river to the end.
Actually, is a lot happening in your film because we have like the con man and dealers and child trafficking, ghosts and I mean, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Whatever came to mind, you put in it. So it's really, it's kind of demanding, as I said, but it's also a good way of being demanding in terms of,
like
intriguing that you, when you, it's like a challenge between the film and you.
Because you're not sure where it's going. And you're like, why is there a vampire suddenly?
Yeah, yeah.
Or why are the two guys look the same? Yeah. Or, so if, I think it's one of those things where you can ask the question, but don't dwell on it. You just keep, it's like a dream. You just go, you know, and then hopefully there's some satisfactions and pleasures along the way.
So if to our audience, if you're ready for a fun, weird, but fun ride, just go and watch Dreamland by Bruce McDonald.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much for having been with us. I'm Angela Cherubi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Grazie mille.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.